Yeah, you know, whatever.
Welcome professionals to the podcast. Before we get started, as always, we ask you to do a couple things for us. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then, please head over to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
And after you do that, please go to iTunes, rate the podcast, review the podcast, and subscribe to the podcast. It helps the algorithm. I don't know what that means, but podcasts that I listen to say that. Cody, what's a motherfucking name?
Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to this week's episode, everybody.
What is an algorithm?
Algorithm is a long word. Why do they need
help?
And why do we need it for the podcast?
I mean, the stuff and the things, you know, with like, there's like numbers.
Bunsen burners.
Yeah. Bunsen burners.
Bunsen burners.
Or boiling stuff.
Schematics.
Mixing chemicals.
Honey melon dew.
Turduncan?
Yep. Oh. Hey, like Mike.
Yeah. That's going to say a really dumb joke. Go.
No, go ahead.
More like a turfucking.
God damn it.
Yeah, because that sounds weirder. Go.
Is that where you like fuck a turkey?
With that's a where duck? You fuck a turkey. Like yeah, sure.
Do you put a duck on your cock?
No, and then you come like, on.
That's disgusting, Cody.
This podcast is going big places soon. We don't want to hammer it down with turkey
we're not,
fucking.
We're not going to change anything.
We're not going to talk about turkey fucking.
No.
Or duck fucking.
There you go.
Turkeys with dicks and stuff.
No, we will.
Hey, put that away.
Joe's like, were you at Barnes & Noble? My dick's out.
I'm a lemonade.
Have you seen any new movies lately?
Mm-mm.
You suck.
Last movie I seen in theater was Homecoming, dude. What fucking lame ass shit is that?
It was a while
super
ago.
Super lame.
Right?
Like a month.
I haven't seen anything. But work. It's been kicking me in my dick hole.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Ruining my life.
Take that, dick hole.
And your dick hole.
That's what work yelled at me.
Yep.
Every time it kicks me in the dick hole.
Right in the dick hole.
But no, on a serious note, I have not been to the movies lately. But you guys get to tell me about three fucking movies I want to see. You dicks.
Yeah. What do you want to start with first?
Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. Dunkirk is a panic attack filmed.
Ooh, I felt like it was going to be that.
I broke into legitimate sweats twice.
Really?
Yeah. And it's It's nerve-wracking.
There are definitely spots where it is. Well, a lot of spots where it's nerve-wracking.
The number one, though, was the pilot in the water.
Oh, Tom Hardy's friend who gets shot down? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers, bro.
He didn't say Tom Hardy got shot down.
Did Tom Hardy get shot down?
No.
Is Tom Hardy a good guy or
maybe.
Bad guy?
Maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
Or maybe not.
Depends on which side of the war
was he
on.
Bane?
He was
he
not.
A mask.
He did, but it was not Bane.
Was he inside a dream the whole time?
We don't know yet.
Was he Bronson?
No. No, he wouldn't have been able to fit in a plane.
That's true. Was he a warrior?
Yeah.
Yeah. Warrior of the skies.
Warrior of
MMA.
Dogfighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in the Michael Vick sense.
Oh, that's what you get, Michael Vick, you piece of shit. Still getting burned.
And DMX. The thing with Dunkirk is it doesn't tell a story in a way.
Tells three stories in a way.
It does. It doesn't. It's not there's no real big narrative to the movie. Like
at the end of it, do you find out it was Matthew McConaughey sending the message at the start of it?
No.
No.
Hmm.
No.
Am I getting my Chris Nolan movies mixed up again?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you do every time. Batman does not show up.
Damn it.
Yep. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's World
War II. What
about
Aquaman?
He's
on the ocean.
Yet.
Aquaman does not show up.
All right.
Yeah, so the movie has this super dark tone to it. I'm not talking just visually. Visually, yes, it does have a dark tone. But, like, it's very, it's not a pleasant story to live through.
from beginning to end. No, I mean, because
like, it's very, very dim.
I don't know if
like
what you pull away from the trailers, but like I thought from the trailers, it seemed more of like they were attacking the beachhead.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't.
And from whatever happened there is what you get for the rest of the movie. But this is literally like, we're fucked and we need to get off this beach. And so that's literally most of the movie.
Yeah,
is this British army of 300,000 guys, I think they said it was.
400,000.
400,000 waiting to get off the beach because there's a German front coming in. And they're just waiting for these tanks to roll in.
Yeah, so basically they're on the coast of Dunkirk, which is off of France. And they're on the English Channel. And they're trying to get across, but they can't because their ships can't get to the shore because it's not deep enough. And so you have this Nazi front coming in to kill everybody, but they know they're trapped, so they're essentially just fucking with them, and they're picking people off, and then they're
dropping flyers. Yeah, that sit there and say, "Hey, look, we surround you."
Yeah, you know, hey, we got you surrounded. And like, really? They have planes coming by doing fucking strife side. I'm like, just unloading, bombing on us. It's intense. It's brutal. It's unlike any war movie. It's Christopher Nolan's take on a war movie, but it's not really a war movie. Like, it takes place in war, but it's not a Saving Private Ryan.
It's not this
Band of Brothers war movie. Yeah, it's telling a certain angle of a story. It's like there's no real big plot to it. Like, there's not like, I was trying to think of how he was going
to get the message, you know, the important message to the right people type of thing.
Yeah, it was, there was a message in it, but it wasn't like, you know, trying to like make, it wasn't pro-war, anti-war. It was just like, hey, this is what these people live through. This is what it's like.
Yeah.
And it is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I was told by a friend to pay attention to the timestamps.
So we went balls out.
Yeah, like we were trying to, and it doesn't actually matter. As long as you're paying attention to the movie and what's happening and who's in the scenes, you'll figure out what's going on in the movie. And it's not because he's trying to trick you into something. It's just the way he tells the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's layered on top, and it's a drastically different way of telling a story, because you start at the beginning, he wants to show you, but then you jump almost in time, but from different perspectives.
Okay.
Yeah.
So think of like a TV show, right? So Band of Brothers. If you remember watching, if you watch Band of Brothers, mm-hmm. So you have that one point of view from that one group. Imagine if the first episode was the point of view of one group. The second episode was the same battle, but from a different group.
Okay.
And then the third was back and like to another one, and then it went kind of back those. That's exactly how he tells the story. It's the same exact story being told, like angle, like, or like point of view, but or not point of view, but like destination, but just seen by three different groups of people.
It's like Marvel Civil War.
I mean, in a way, yeah. I mean, it's all about how these people, that these soldiers that are on this, that stranded on this beach, are going to get off of the beach and get back to England. It's exactly what they're trying to show you how it happens. It just shows you, instead of just watching the struggle of one soldier making his way back to England, you get to see him interact with other people, and then you get to see the events that happen around him, but from other people.
Okay.
So like there's the beach, the boats, and the planes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three points of views. So the beach is that one new that one kid that Christopher Nolan discovered, I guess, really, for this movie. Which, and the thing about this movie is, there is probably 30 lines of dialogue in it.
Oh, yeah. I called this the quietest, loudest movie ever.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. There is, it's all acting. There's hardly any. Tom Hardy had the most lines of anybody in the movie, what? And he had like 8 of them.
Yeah.
Until the end, and this kid reads a newspaper article, and that's where like 24 of the 30 lines come from.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But it's all done just by what's happening on the screen and by the emotions and what the characters are going through. It's a very interesting way of doing it, but it's a very simple story to be told too. Like there's nothing, there really isn't a lot going on. So you don't have to try to like figure out, like I was the entire time I'm watching these timestamps and I'm trying to figure out what's he getting at? What's he trying to do? Like, and then you get to the end, you're like, oh, you're not actually doing anything.
Yeah.
You're literally telling us the struggle of these soldiers trying to get back to England and how they did it and who helped out and how they helped out.
And when they helped out.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, it's spoilers. This is how it happens. The soldiers on the beach, it's a week. The boats, it's a day. And the planes, it's an hour. The same story is being told, but from their perspective in that amount of time. So all the stuff you see from the soldier on the beach all takes place within a week of it.
Okay.
And it all culminates in the same thing. The soldiers getting home. That's their whole thing. The boats, it's a day. They start telling their story of how they got, of what they did, which is basically leave from England, go across the English Channel to this beach in France, pick the soldiers up and bring them back. Took a day. Then the planes, their story, their angle of the story is told over an hour of their flying around. That's exactly how it is. It's not trying to trick you. It's not trying to, you know, like, oh, is the top going to fall over? Is it a dream? Is it, you know, is it Matthew McConaughey sending notes to his daughter from the fucking future? But from the past and all that stuff, it's all it is just him showing you the three different perspectives he wants to show you of the same event.
Yeah.
It's all it is. It's movie's
done really well.
Fucking gorgeous.
Especially when you get to the parts. Well, yeah, it's gorgeous, absolutely. But I mean, the way the storytelling is done, it's awesome because you'll get some parts like Scarecrow, you know, Cillian Murphy on the boat.
Yep.
But then later on, you get like the flyover.
Yep.
And you're like, oh shit, that's the boat that he's on. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's crazy the way they do it because it's like, because it's all centered around like essentially one real big event, which is that oil, that one, not destroyer, but what do they call it?
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
the one that
literally
goes down, that kid almost drowns, but he gets out
it's
in time.
It's all on that one little thing. Cause really the focus point of that whole thing was the hour long of the plane.
Yeah.
And you just get to see the build up and the draw out of it. And it's really cool the way he does it because you see from the different angles and like when the pilot goes down and his buddy, and then you get to see Tom Hardy's perspective of the dog fights.
Yeah.
Then you get to see the same dog fight, like you were saying, from the other pilot's point of view when he's on the boat.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's fucking nuts. But then you see, at the end, you see the people on the boat, their perspective of the dog fight too. And the cool thing about it is you get to see how limited each one of them are of the same event, because the dog fight takes place away from the boats. Then as it gets closer to the boats, the smaller boat sees it, and they see more of it. And then the bigger ship, they don't see a lot of it. They just they get the tail end of it when obviously something terrible happens to them. So it's a really cool way of doing it. It's like almost if you took any movie, like I said, the Band of Brother things, but any movie, and you just said, hey, this person's whole involvement in this part of the story is only an hour. How do we show that on there? And the cool thing about it, the way they do it, is yes, the interaction that the planes had was only an hour of this big thing, but you get to see how it's the perspective of other people, even the actions. Like something happens and you know it happens, but then you get to see it from another person's point of view, and it's that much more intense.
Yeah.
You know, and it just builds up to this one part was just, I literally had no idea what was gonna happen. I was like, please God, just save everyone. I don't know what's going to happen.
Are you talking about the pilot that his friend that goes down?
No, I'm talking about the culmination of the whole thing. So, like, the fire and everything. Like, I was like, I can't, like, don't, like, ah! So,
because
like,
his friend going down just added, like, the tension to the movie.
Yeah,
because,
oh, yeah.
Well, you see his friend go down, he lands in the water, and then Tom Hardy flies around, and you see he's okay. And you're like, okay, whatever. But then when it switches back to the point of view of the guys on the boat, and they're showing his friend's struggle to get out of the cockpit just added a whole new layer of tension to it.
Yep.
God, like, you knew he was going to survive, but you didn't see that from Tom Hardy's point of view.
Yep.
It was intense.
Like, you see him, like, wave at him.
Yeah.
But then when you see what that actually wave was, it's like, oh, no, it's not, hey, I'm okay, I'm good to go. And, him doing a water landing in that plane was so hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they preface it and they foreshadow it with the plane they shoot down earlier. Yeah. Where it goes and it hits and it just tumbles. Once it hits the water, it tumbles and breaks apart. He's going down. He's trying to control it. And I was like, please don't. Like, I already know he lands. Like, you already see it from Tom Hardy's perspective. He lands fine. You're like,
yeah.
Are you gonna fucking Christopher Nolan me and just fuck this guy over? Like, what's going to happen? You know, like, or is it going to be like, oh, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, just explosion. Like,
yeah.
What are you going to do to me? And then, like, there isn't any.
Mm.
But, like, dude, there's so many of these scenes that they're doing something and then just gets super intense.
Yeah.
Like the boat on the dock when it gets bombed.
Oh, yeah.
It's everything's going good. You're like, oh, what are these guys going to do? And then all of a sudden something happens, like the bombing, and it's like, oh, shit, like this boat's fucking going down with all these people on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people are jumping over the side. I was like, dude, this is fucking nuts. And then when they're inside the boat that's beached.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there, all of a sudden just... I'm like, oh my god, like it's just so calm, like, oh dude, yeah, no. If you have anxiety problems, do not see this movie.
Yeah, right.
It will drive you completely over the edge.
Yeah.
It is that bad. Like it's an amazing movie, but if you have any heart problems, anything, like you suffer from crazy anxiety, skip this one for sure. Skip it for sure. Acting was amazing.
Absolutely.
Visually was amazing.
So amazing.
Story, again, like I said, wasn't a lot to it, but I don't think there needed to be.
No.
The way it was told, it was amazing. Yeah. You want to say something? Go.
Nope.
All right, cool. Next up, what do you want to hear?
Valerian.
This, the City of a Thousand Worlds. I will say this. If you like sci-fi movies like Star Wars and Fifth Element, and like Blade Runner, this is definitely something you're gonna dig for sure.
Oh yeah.
Not the story I thought they're gonna tell.
Really?
At all.
Well, you've read the comp.
I've read
the, that volume. I haven't yet. I read the first volume, which isn't this.
This is the third one.
This is
the,
no this second, is the second one.
Sorry, second one. Not the. So the story is almost exactly what it is from the comic. It's not the way I thought they were going to tell it, though. I thought it was going to be drawn out differently. Because mm-hmm. it's over 2 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't notice it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, because there's so much going on. Every time there's like this, you think there's going to be a lull, someone slaps you in the face with a fucking sci-fi glove, and you're just right back in it. Like, something's, like, even when you, like, they're, like, trying to explain stuff, shit is going on. And the crazy thing about it is, they assume you know what's happening all the time from the beginning of the movie. They basically show you two things that explain the world we're in, and that's it. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is just take us on our word, this is how the world works.
Huh.
And it's, I think it's brilliant the way they introduce the City of a Thousand Worlds.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's essentially the International Space Station. And as it, as our grasp on space travel and being in space grows, they essentially start adding on to
the space station. Saw that part was that
clip they released online. So that's how they grow it, and then they tell you that it's too big, it needs to get away from Earth because it's endangering
that's where them. The clip in the movie's cut off was them
so
taking off basically.
They do this, and they do a very smart thing, which I'm not going to spoil for it. Because, I mean, when you watch it, it's not going to be a huge shocker what's going on. Like, I don't know if Joe felt the same. But once they tell you what's going, like what the whole plot of it is, and they just basically, like, there's this, on the Valerian, or on the City of Thousand Planets, Alpha, as they call it, some kind of radiation for, some kind of radiation is leaking from the center. They need to figure out what it is. So you automatically think, oh, it's breaking down. Something bad's happening. Everyone on this thing is in danger. then you get like, I got the notion that I was like, you know what? I don't think that's right
true
at all.
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff we can't look into because the access is denied. I'm like, this seems fishy to me.
Yeah.
And it seems like a forced plot point that doesn't need to be there. And I was right because it wasn't what they were. They were forcing you to think it was something like, oh, just a miraculous danger all of a sudden just comes up. You know, it's like it's just a plot to throw in to make something happen. And it's not. It's a red herring, I guess you could really say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very interesting. I think the best part is the little bit of new stuff they throw at you, like the whole interdimensional shopping thing. Oh,
that was so fantastic.
There's no reason to have it in the movie. You don't need it. No. Other than just it was fucking dope, and you needed a little bit of outside of Alpha to show what Valerian goes through.
Yeah.
As what he does as his job. So you get the idea of, like, because when you get to Alpha, he's just as fucking, like, he's a RoboCop. He's just seems to be indestructible. He's RoboCop, James Bond, and fucking Iron Man, like, all in one. And he's just, like, he has this bravado, and you're like, I don't understand. Like, if you didn't see that section, you'd be like, well, I don't understand why he's so calm and collected. It just makes no sense. Like, there's super danger all around him. And then you just realize, oh, this is his fucking, like, this is what he does every day. Like, the shit that goes down is just another day for him.
Yeah.
And so they show you another instance of it, which is amazing the way they do it. And it looks gorgeous. It's super funny. And it's John Goodman's in it.
What?
Right?
Sold.
Right? Fantastic. Like, just, and like, the best part is, like, they have all these things that are set up that play out that you think are going to come back later in the movie, and you just realize, no, they just, like, it's just this world. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to have it other than the fact that it's needed a little capsule of time to show you something that is going to lead you to, like, to know what the character's all about later on. Yeah. And it has literally nothing extra in it. I mean, they link the main plot through it, but it's, like, it's all centered around him anyway, so, you know.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where you don't have to pay attention because they explain everything, what's going on. But, I mean, there's a lot to it, a lot more to it when you pay attention. There's more things you'll pick up on. And there's little things, like, the entire time, all I was doing is looking for stuff that referenced or was from Fifth Element. That's all I wanted to do. I was like, I need to see the noodle boat thing. I need to see something that resembles any, like, even a cop car, like, anything. And you don't see it. I'm like, fuck you. Like, it looks, like, outlandish and otherworldly, like Fifth Element does with the crazy, like, the opera singer, like, you know, she has that, she's blue and tentacly and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And looks very futuristic. That is everywhere in this movie. Obviously, because it's from the guy who made it. But the crazy thing about it is, like, it is literally, like, they do such a good job of showing you the thousand worlds, like, how different everything is, just by, like, walking down a street. Like, you're just walking down, and it's, like, literally just so much different. Like, in the background, it's different stuff, different creatures are walking through. I'm like, I feel bad if the people who had to do the creature creation, because they even emphasize it in the movie, like, every area is a different faction. Like, this area is all for, like, liquid life forms. This one's all for, like, people who breathe a different type of, like,
gas
or whatever. And so, like, there's a whole section of, like, there's no laws really go here. Like, if you're a human, don't go here.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think there'd be that type of area.
Well, and the thing is, it leads you to that.
Because I'm applying that whole, this is supposed to be like a coming together of planets.
Yeah, and type they have a police force.
And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But yeah, they get to the one area where it's like only that species can go into. Yep. And it's like, oh, that's weird.
Like, even the Rihanna's character is like, no. You're out of your fucking mind. There's a sign that literally says, do not go here. Only these things can go here.
Only whatever that species was.
Yeah, like, yeah. Only, and which is, the humor in this movie is amazing because it's, a lot of it is unspoken, and it's just things that are happening on screen. But the one I'm talking about is when she's getting dressed.
Yeah.
and they're going through all these different outfits, and this alien race that's helping her or having her try on all these different outfits, doesn't speak English,
and there's no translation.
And there's no translation. There's no subtitles until later on. All it is reactions of her face or its face. I'm not too sure if it's a girl. Its face.
Yeah.
It might be. It seemed like it was. But the best part about that whole thing is it's literally a build up to a joke.
Yeah.
And I'll spoil it for you. So they're trying all these dresses on, right? Like, God, what the hell is going on? Like, and as they go up, it looks more and more like a wedding dress. And I was like, are they going to marry her off to one of these crazy alien creatures? And then finally it ends with this big white dress. And I was like, they are.
Yeah.
And then she gets this ginormous fucking hat for her. And she's like, really? The hat has to be? And she's like, just like this goofy alien. Like, like this. And so when it comes down to the thing, you're like, they build it up this way. It's like this big, long hallway with this carpet and all these soldiers. And there's this train of these alien creatures with different food. And as they're going down this line, he's the king or emperor, whatever he happens to be, is just trying all these different food and he's not happy. And eventually they all end up, and she's the alien creature thing's like super excited, like, this is the one, I know it's going to be it. And here she comes walking down the aisle in this fancy dress with this crazy big hat and holding a tray with a giant lemon on it. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck?
Like, it's just a giant lemon.
Yeah, like, you're like, what the hell's going on? Like, this is like, he didn't choose any of those, so like, that's not the good enough bright or whatever, like, it's gonna come to this. And he's super excited all of a sudden. I'm like, well, this got creepy.
Yep.
Like, this got super creepy. And then he grabs the lemon and he's like, oh, like, I'm so excited. And he looks over at the one creature. He's like, yeah, just Google that. He's like, yeah, do it. And then he squeezes, like, camera pans up and the hat's open and he squeezes the lemon on her head. And you're like, wait a minute, is he gonna eat her? Then pulls out this fucking contraption that's bladed, and he's literally gonna chop her head open and eat her brain. That's the whole buildup.
Yeah.
And it's just literally filler to show you that she's in peril. And it's like, leads you to not understand a goddamn thing what's going on.
No.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, they didn't tell you anything. You just know, like, you just get this impending doom. Like, something bad's gonna happen. But no one's really died up until this point in there. Like, and it's just like, super weird build up to it, but it's hilarious. Yeah. In the world, like, there's so many questions I have about the worlds that you, the way these meshed together, and like the fact those they were fishing for,
which things. Made no sense,
like,
at all.
Made no sense at all. It's like, it seemed like the thing they do because he knew about it, and like,
yeah,
it was just this weird way of telling a story that had nothing to do with the main story. It was just really amazing the way they did it.
Yeah.
And there's, again, that's two movies. There's not a whole lot of dialogue in it in certain sections. Like, there's no actual character talking to drive the story.
In that instance where you have the alien and there's no type of translation between them, yes.
Yeah. And it's all
very,
just done.
It's a very one-sided, what do you want of me?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? And you can tell the alien doesn't understand a goddamn thing she's saying.
Oh, yeah.
But she's making these movements where she's trying to get her to do things, and it's just hilarious.
How awesome was the burlesque dance?
Oh, my God. So Rihanna plays this character who's a burlesque dancer, and she's a shapeshifter. So she's shifting in and out of different outfits during the dance.
It was so seamless.
It was so amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I'm guessing, like, I don't even know how they would do it, because she was wearing real costumes.
Yeah.
And they would just broom back into another costume, but she would do it around something. Like, there was a pole or a chair or whatever it happens to be, a mic stand. She would just go around, like, pass and boom, just change into another outfit. It was fucking nuts, dude.
But it was done really well.
Yeah. And Ethan Hawke's in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I didn't know he was in it either.
He plays like the owner of
her burlesque. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. I think the cool thing about it too is the fact that the way they start the movie pays off at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
it all has to do with this. Like, it's there is a reason they showed you that in the beginning, because it leads to, it doesn't, it does not necessarily have to be with it. It just happens to be what's going on.
Yeah.
And it was just, and it's, it truly is straight sci-fi. There's no, like, oh, I feel normal about this. Like, Star Wars has like a humanoid vibe, like human vibe to it. This is so alien all the way through. Like, it's,
well, it is.
Yeah. And that's, and I mean, like, always any sci-fi movie like this is going to get that. It's going to be, that's going to be the problem. Cause people, I can't, you know, I don't feel that I fit in this world. I'm like,
you can't connect with the character.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a
like
fucking,
but these are literally humans. Like, you make the connection with Star Wars, but nowhere in Star Wars have you ever seen that the humans, quote unquote, are from Earth. So they can't even be considered humans.
Yep. Yeah.
But in this movie, they are literally humans.
Yeah.
They are from Earth.
They are literally from Earth. Yeah.
So you should be able to find at least some semblance of, you know, be able to make some connection with some character in there. I do feel that we glossed over the merchant scene a little bit too much, because it was at times intense with not knowing how the what was the other dimensional, fourth dimensional, whatever it was.
Yeah, the transmissional. Yeah.
And how, because it was supposed to be Valerian and this highly equipped special forces team, and the other, and Loreline were supposed to go in and to get something. But it's super hilarious when you look out at the marketplace and you just see fucking desert.
It's just this big wall, like this wall with armored guards, like on these giant, essentially,
towers.
Like, yeah. But the thing is, when you look at it, they're all the towers that have these guns are facing in.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't think you guys know what you're doing. Like, you don't actually, you don't know how to guard stuff. Look, you're, and then like, so you go in. So the way it starts is, they go in on this tourist group that's all humanoids. They all look Earthlings, and you get introduced to this world. And they're like, "Hey, like, there's this little like how-to video. And it's like, what's gonna happen is you're gonna get coded for your race, for your species, I should say, and you're gonna get these glasses, and you need to wear the glasses, the gloves, and the helmet at all times."
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, "Well, that's fucking weird, but whatever, right?" So you're gearing up, and then they turn, you get to see first person view of what it looks like with the glasses on, and it just opens up to this amazing looking market, and you're like, it's interdimensional. So you're seeing this interdimensional space. So think of flat, you know, here's the market, there's this area, there's all these different markets stacked on top of each other, but the only way to see them all is with the interdimensional glasses.
Oh, okay.
Right? So you see this we racing through the glasses, you're seeing this huge open area with all these shops, and it's going down, and the camera then starts flying through it, and it starts to do like a Fifth Element thing where it's like stacks of like levels of different areas you can mm-hmm. go to, right? And it's this huge market, and then it cuts away from the vision of the glasses, and it's this open fucking desert with just people milling around. It's, and you're like, hilarious. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then you realize it's just a big walled-in area, and these watchtowers, for some reason, which you find out later, have guns pointed inward. And you're like, what the hell? And there's literally just groups of people just walking around with nothing. They're just like wearing helmets, and the helmets, the glasses, and the gloves. And you're like, the fuck? And then you hear this like PSA thing say, don't forget to check your merchandise through the scanners to bring it through your dimension. You're like, what? And you see this guy holding all this stuff, and it cuts to him in like our plane of existence, and he's not holding anything.
Yeah.
And you see him put all this stuff on a conveyor belt, and it starts spitting out the other end of real things. And it's just, and it's basically, it's crazy the way they do it. I mean, it's, again, like I said, it's something that's not really too relevant to the rest of the movie.
No.
But it just happens to be so much more in-depth detail they're giving you for what this universe that's part of Valerian's worlds have to offer. Like, there's just so much to it. It's not just go to a planet, and this planet's for shopping.
Yeah.
You go to this fucking desert wasteland, and you get to shop at all these different dimensional worlds, but you can only go to certain ones because only humans are allowed to go to certain areas. Like, it's really, there's these rules they set up,
mm-hmm.
and they're just given to you only to drive, only so you can see what's going on and realize that bad things are going to happen, or things are going to happen here. And it's not, again, literally has nothing to do with the rest of the story of the movie. It's just driving to one part to let it go further.
Yeah.
But it's just like when you go to Tatooine, right? And they're at the bar. There's all that stuff going around, but it's just focused on Luke and Obi-Wan and Han and Chewie, right? But there's all these other things that you just, like, you have all these questions. Same thing.
Yep.
You're in this crazy place. You're like, I have so many questions on what's going on here because you're giving me details for stuff I don't know, or you're not giving me details for stuff you're showing me.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask someone questions. I'm like, please tell me how this works and where is Corbin Dallas? I know he's in here somewhere. But yeah, it's amazing. It is
a really good movie.
Yeah. If you like sci-fi movies, go see it for sure. But also just like know that it's if you liked Fifth Element, you're going to dig this movie for sure. Because it's the Fifth Element's the same way. You go into it and there's this huge open world that you're being thrown into and you get these little glimpses of what's going on it, but you don't have all the story. Like with Star Wars, again, you get all the story. Yeah. There's two factions. There's this big civil unrest between these two factions in the galaxy. That's it. That's all there is to it. There's bad and there's good, and that's all you have. And this, you don't know what's going on. It's just so much craziness going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's super awesome. Next up, unless you have any more questions.
Nope.
About, all right. So next up, Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
Atomic Blonde was fucking amazing.
Is it John Wick?
In a way, yes.
I wouldn't say that.
But
I would compare it more to a girl Jason Bourne.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She is. So John Wick is a fucking a death tornado. She is more of a spy. And what I did not know is it's set in 1989.
Oh yeah, from the trailers you don't get that at all.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
like I had no idea what this movie was actually about.
Based off of a comic book.
I knew that, but that's because I looked it up.
Yeah.
Because I went to say, hey, this is based on a book. So I went to look it up, and I was like, oh, it's based on a comic book, well, graphic novel. But
graphic novel. Right.
The crazy thing about it is, the style of this movie is drastically different than what the trailers give you. This is. It is a punk rock spy movie.
And it is fantastic. Yeah.
It is fucking fantastic. And it's... So, Mike, did you ever see Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy?
No.
Okay, that's not a bad example then. You saw it, right?
I saw it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that spy element where it's like that whodunit, but they tell you who did it, but you don't know who did it. And it's like you're trying to guess. But then it's just thrown in with punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's thrown in this, and the whole thing takes place basically in Berlin. There's a little bit before and after that are different places, but for the bulk of the movie, it's all Berlin. It's on the eve of the wall coming down, so it's 1989. There's civil unrest in Germany, and they're one of the characters, James McAvoy's character, is a spy. But he's like made himself really at home.
McAvoy.
Oh, James McAvoy, sorry.
You said McAvoy, and I was like, who? I'm looking at the list, McAvoy, and I'm like, who's McAvoy?
McAvoy. and he's basically set up a bootleg, like not a bootleg, but like an importing black market type thing where he's selling like thing. Jack he's Daniels.
Literally just selling Jack Daniels.
Jordache jeans, all these Western stuff.
Which was hilarious. Hey, that, you want a pair of jeans?
Yeah.
Take one.
Yeah, like that you wouldn't be able to get in Cold War era
Berlin.
And so there's like this political point that it's not the agenda of the movie. It's not saying, hey, like this side's right, this side's wrong. It's literally just that time frame. And the coolest thing about it is when it starts off, it says, this is Cold War era Germany. But it's not the story you were told. This is a different story.
Yeah.
So it's not about how the wall came down. It's something that's happened during that time. Man. And it's just the action scenes are fucking phenomenal. And she, unlike John Wick, where he just manhandles everybody in sight, she does not. Like she wins. Spoiler alert. But
still, the first time you see her, dude. And she is fucked up, just bruised, black-eyed, so you're like, what the fuck happened?
You start the movie off with her being debriefed about this mission. So basically, something happens. Well, I mean, I'll have to say something. So a spy gets killed, because you see that from the trailer. She is then told about this. I thought...
that she had a romantic connection with him, right?
I mean, that's what it ended up being.
But, I mean, like, it played it up a lot more in the trailer.
So I thought that she was going out for revenge. That's what I thought this movie was about. It's like, her like, spy boyfriend or whatever, sex partner, gets killed. She wants revenge. That's literally... What?
The spy who loved her.
Yeah. That's literally what I thought this was. I was like, oh, okay, so she's going to go fucking... John Wick, I'm like, instead of her dog dying, was her boyfriend, right? So that's what's going to happen. She's just going to John Wick the fuck out of everybody, right? Nay, nay, sir. That is not actually Hun. The whole thing is that guy got a list that was leaked of all the actual the code names and the real names and where they're from of spies from every country that have to do with the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
Germany, Russia, England, America, everything. All in this list, and this dude had it, and he got murdered. Then you find out the guy who got made the list needs to get the fuck out of the country. Well, actually, not out of that side of the country. He needs to go to the east side because he can be free. But he's wanted by the German government, so they have to smuggle him out somehow. But they need to get the list too.
Okay.
The list was stolen when they killed the spy. And then so they go and they're like, oh, so Russia's got it. They're like, not exactly. The guy who stole it hasn't given to the Russians yet.
Yeah.
We think he's selling it. And you're like, oh, so that's where it goes. And then it's this big spy-on-spy action thriller to try to get this list and to get this dude out of it. And it's just fucking crazy. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
There is a really graphic lesbian scene that I did not think was going to happen.
No.
Like, full-on two naked females, full nude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Game of Thrones style.
Yeah.
Like, graphic. I was like, oh, this is what we're going to do, huh?
This is a different type of debriefing.
Yep. But you can definitely see the John Wick influence, because if I'm not mistaken, it's from one of the guys who made John Wick, right?
All I read was that she trained with Keanu for a while.
Yeah, well, because the director, isn't he one of the co-directors from the first John Wick movie? I thought. I could be wrong. When I say that, it's not like the same...
Well, director was David Leitch.
Yeah, isn't he one of the guys that did John Wick?
Pulling it up. Not seeing John Wick listed here.
No, okay. Maybe I was wrong about that.
Was the stunt coordinator for Jupiter Ascending and Turtles and
The
Bourne Legacy and
but the gun violence in it wasn't like she wasn't gun-fooing people and like doing crazy like behind the
gun-fooing.
You know, well, that's like, what it'd be called. Yeah. But like, it was pretty
like
close.
The under the armpit shots or blah blah blah. She's shooting people in normal fashion, but then she's using different types of close quarter combat maneuvers and martial arts to take people down. And she repeatedly has to beat people. She's a very small lady for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
She's taking on some very large dudes that are damn near indestructible. Like, this dude gets knifed two or three times in the back, once in the in the chest.
McAvoy's character, yeah?
No, I'm talking about the big Russian guy in that one stairwell when she's trying to protect the dude.
I was thinking later in the film.
Him too. But like this Russian dude, she literally, he pulls out a knife. They struggle with it. Like, he's swinging at her. She's dodging it. She does the whole like wrist bend thing, flips him around, gets the knife, stabs him in the gut. He stabs him in the chest, then stabs him two more times in the back, and then in the back, like in the nape of the neck area. And he's still fighting with her.
Jesus.
And then eventually, like, it's just, I mean, I was like, dude, like, they built these dudes rough and Russian tough, man.
Yeah.
Like, God, like, the blonde guy who got the key in the face at the movie theater.
Oh, God.
Later on, like, that dude literally got fucked. Like, he got his face bashed in by a fucking hot plate.
But still, just the, well, yeah.
And then the shows up back on the table, on the front of the car, takes fucking three bullets, falls off the front of the car, stands back up and then has to get run over to kill this motherfucker. Jesus.
A lot of the scenes, what I'd compare it to is, remember the one of the fight scenes from the end of Taken, where he throws that tray at that dude's neck, and you just hear that guttural shit. Tons of scenes like that.
Yeah, and there's some like on screen deaths that I'm pretty sure they killed somebody. Like that dude when she's waiting inside the door and he pops in and shoots him in the eye.
Yeah.
You literally see the dude's eye collapse in and fucking brains go out the back. And I was like, dude, we just watch an actual murder.
I'm pretty sure because you watch and she goes back and picks up the dude's gun. And yeah. You can still see the eyes missing.
There's a fucking hole. I was like, hey, I know you guys film this in Germany. Like, I don't know what rules go over there, but
none.
Apparently you can kill people and they're okay with it.
Yeah.
Well, he was going to die anyways. Whatever.
Stab the hell out of people with a fucking corkscrew.
Dude, the fucking ice pick to the brain, though.
Yeah.
I thought that fight was going to be way more than it was. And, like, it was just, boink. I was like, did you fucking get? he got the point.
The key one still bothers me, though.
The key one. Jesus Christ.
Because they're leading up to it. She does the thing where she puts the key into her fist. Yeah. And she's trying to hit the guy. But the guy's actually pretty good at fighting. And she finally lands the blow, but it's right in his cheek. And she pulls her hand away, and it's the keys are just still hanging there.
Like, just in his cheek hanging. Then later on, he just pulls it out, and he's just got a fucking hole in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, and the best part is, it's got keys on a ring.
Yeah.
So there's a key in
it. It's dangling there.
And there's keys dangling. And you hear him, like, jingle around as he's fighting.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not like that doesn't happen at the end of the fight. It happens halfway through the fight.
Yeah.
Then they continue fighting with the keys jingling in his face. And he doesn't even mind pulling them out until he go outside in public. And they don't know where she went. And he's like, that way. And he just pops the key out. I was like,
that should have been the first thing you've done.
Right? As soon as your hands are free. Because he was choking the shit out of her.
Oh, he was.
And like, as soon as your hands are free from like having, just pull it out real quick. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
But now he's just like, oh, and it's just like ding-a-ding. I was like, fuck, man. Like, you have a key in your face and other keys just bump against your jaw, man. Like, dude, like, man, that dude was hardcore. And the corkscrew thing, just like, it's an old fashioned corkscrew with the fucking handle, you know, like you do this and it's that. And she puts it and then she's like, Jason Bourne him, right? Yeah. And he's dodging it. Finally, he gets her in his fucking like chokehold, right? I remember when first they fighting, and she jams him in the arm, like right here, and it's stuck, and he wraps her in this fucking like chokehold, and she's getting choked out, and he's like, "Yeah, how do you like that, bitch?" or something, or "Try to breathe now, bitch." She pops it out, stabs him once in the fucking face. He puts his other hand up to guard it, and she keeps jamming his fucking hand with this thing.
Jesus,
I was like, "Bro, give up. You are gonna lose.
Tap out right now."
And that wasn't even the end of that fight.
No, because you think she finishes him off.
Yeah, and they're both struggling.
Yeah.
Like, she's fucking winded.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Right there at the end.
And so, like, that's when she hits him in the face of the fucking, with the hot plate, and starts beating the shit out of this guy, and you're like, oh, dude's dead. Like, that. Oh, that's it, right? So then she has to take out some other guys. They make her way down. They steal a fucking cop car, go out, and he fucking runs out into traffic and jumps on the front of the car, and I was like, is there three of these guys? Because there's no way a human being would fucking live through any of this. And then she shoots him three times. I'm like, fucking finally.
Lying,
stands up in front of the fucking car. I was like, dude, pack it in, bro. Like, you ain't gonna make it. She then hits him, rolls over him in the car. I was like,
yep,
dude. Yeah, but there's like Jason Bourne fucking driving scene for a little bit there, too, where she's driving backwards and she shoots a fucking dude, and the driver and the passenger of a car is chasing him, and they like run into another one. It was intense. It was so much fun. And the music was amazing.
Music was absolutely amazing.
So amazing the way they did it, because they made it part of the movie too, where like you hear the song going on, and then all of a sudden a car pulls up, and like the door opens, and the music is from the car. And then like at one point, like one of the characters is wearing headphones, so the music's all loud. And then when it cuts away from that character, you can still hear the music, but in the background, and it's lower. I was like, man, you guys are good at your job.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so 80s, dude. Like, her hotel room is total fucking
80s. Yeah, I keep thinking of when you said it's set then. I'm like, fuck, there's, like, no evidence. I see the trailer again. I'm like, all right, well, let's.
Yeah, dude, they do such a good job, and the punk rock aesthetic goes even to the credits. The way they do it, it's all spray painted.
So well, like, even like the things throughout where they would say,
like London or whatever. London, it would be like a.
You could hear a little like a pink like a.
Going across it, and it's like a stencil, and so the stencil would be the letters that make up the word.
But I mean, like you hear the ball as like the pink cans being shaken, and then you
Oh, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
John Goodman's in it,
which was fantastic as well.
So it's like,
what'd you call me? Nothing.
Yeah, she calls him a cocksucker. He goes, "What'd you say?" He's like, "She's like, I didn't say anything." Like, then the other guy's like, "What'd you say?" He's like, "And you won't say it."
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, that's so rad." And it comes back later. And it does amazing. Come back
later. The ending.
I don't want to spoil the ending.
I'm not going to spoil the ending. All I'm just saying is, like, I did not see that coming. Like,
you will think it's over.
They led you one way, then they led you another way, and then the ending was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude. They lead. Like, there's a part where it's like, oh, that's how it ends.
Yeah.
Nope. And then you're like, oh, that's how it ends. Nope. You're like, yo, man, when are you going to end this? Credits. You're like, credits. Oh, that's how you end it. Yeah, it was amazing. Like, I think it was one of my favorite movies so far this year.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best part is, like I said, it's set in a very political environment, but it has nothing to do with politics.
Yeah, which was something that was pretty cool. Is like anytime that you'd have a TV going on, like you could definitely, it was all about news about the Berlin Wall and how people were protesting and this and that. Yeah,
Kurt Loder from MTV News was on it. Like at one point there was like a TV that had him on it and had the whole like rotating globe thing.
Yeah.
It was so rad, dude. I was like, oh my God.
It's so fucking classic, man.
Yeah, dude, it was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And James is like, I love him so much in this movie. He's so fucking ridiculous.
He really is.
He's just so outlandish. The whole Sinead O'Connor thing. So she has to describe him. So instead of her, you hear her actually describing him. You see that, and then they come back, and there's like editorials about it. Like he's like, she's like, this whole Sinead O'Connor thing going on, and John Goodman has to look at the other guy and go, it's a Irish pop singer. And then you hear him go, hey, you want to touch it? And like, you want to feel it? Like he's back into this. Oh, it's super ridiculous, dude. It's so amazing. It's fucking high intent, like high octane the entire time, which is fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's one of those things where, like, right when you think it's going to slow down, they're telling you something and then it just ramps right the fuck back up. And it's just, yeah, for sure. It's so fucking fun.
Yep.
And the action is the way they do it. Like they almost make it look like a continuous fight, but they do these really cool cuts where, like, someone walks in front of the camera and it swaps to a different time they filmed it. So, like, the fight with the one dude in the trench coat and the jacket with the fucking corkscrew, they need to change where the camera's placement so the camera follows a character and then someone walks in front of the camera and it doesn't look like a cut, but it is because that character covers the screen completely and then it's backed and you can see that the camera's now placed differently for more action to happen. And they follow him, and they do the same thing. And it's back. And it's like literally like 10 minutes is back and forth between these two people, and it feels like they did in Daredevil with the hallway scene.
Yeah.
Like unless you watch it multiple times, you don't really catch the cuts. It's so well done.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it is. And no room is safe with these people around.
No room and is like safe. No item is safe.
80s was a big time for glass counters. Very terrible time for glass counters. None of them survive.
No.
Like there should be a counter for how many surfaces die in this.
The counter,
dude.
Counter.
Yeah, it's it a was. Counter, counter it deaths. Was. I felt bad for the glass industry. I was like, "Yo, you guys, dang." highly recommend.
I do all of them.
All of them. All three movies.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch them that order. We didn't watch them that order, did we? Dunkirk was second, right? Or was Valerian second?
No, I think Dunkirk was.
No, Dunkirk was first.
First. Yeah.
It was. We saw Dunkirk, then Valerian, and then today we saw. But yes, three drastically different movies, three phenomenal movies.
Yep.
I would give them all three thumbs up.
So would I.
It's interesting because I trust your opinion on this, and I'm going to look forward to watching these movies, which leads me into the question is, why don't you trust my opinion on things when I tell you something's good? And you take 14 fucking years to watch something that I tell you to watch. And then when you watch it, you're like, oh, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, Cody.
Hey, you dick.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious.
Like, why is so that whenever a thing?
So what Mike is referring to, and there's two instances that he's bringing up right now. First one.
There's some movies, too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, there's two that you're bringing up on purpose.
Yeah.
Because one's more recent. So the first one is New Girl.
Yes.
Mike started watching it because of Jen, if I'm mistaken, right?
No. I was bored.
Is that what it was?
And I was bummed because I just finished, the one with Damon Wayans Jr. that he had.
Oh, Happy Endings. Yeah.
I just finished Happy Endings, and I was like, he was in the pilot A New Girl. I'm gonna watch the pilot for New Girl, and I laughed my ass off. And then I was bummed because he wasn't in it, but like the show was still good, so I kept. That's what led me to watch it.
So he then told me, "Hey, you should check this out." Me being
we're like three or four seasons in at that.
Yeah, because you had started it way after it had started. Yeah, yeah. It's not like you started from the beginning. So Mike kept saying, "Hey, you should watch this. I think you really would find it funny." I was like, "Eh, it looks dumb to me because I like pissing Mike off and it's fun to me." So I was like, "Nah."
No, but you really did think it looked dumb, though.
Yeah, it did.
You shit talked it a lot.
Oh yeah, I was like, "No, I didn't give it a chance." It was one of those things where, like most things, if in my head. If I don't like what I see, automatically it's going
to
be garbage.
Which is weird because you're the one who turned me on to Happy Endings.
Yes.
And I told you, I was like, it's better than Happy Endings and it's the same kind of vibe.
But the thing is, you discovered it, not me. So me not liking it is just pushing the joke further because it makes me laugh on the inside.
It's like how he's pushing this joke narrative. No, it's not a joke narrative. There's a little bit there.
No, that's
but you also were a dick about it. And
yes,
you're like,
of course.
No, I don't want to see it.
Because then it, in my head, where the joke is the funniest, because I'm my best crowd, is makes me laugh internally because Mike gets so frustrated. He's like, no, I know you'll like this. And I'm like, yeah, but it looks fucking dumb. All the characters look stupid and all these things. And he's like, no. And I'm like, no, it looks fucking dumb. One day I watch it and I burn through like fucking 5 seasons.
Like he caught up with me.
Yeah.
Like in a course of a week. Like it was ridiculous.
And Mike's like, God damn it. So we come to number two that we're talking about.
And this one took a lot longer.
Yes.
Because I was on this one from the start.
Yes. He started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine right away.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, the trailers you see don't do it justice. It is super hilarious. So again, to go on the joke that I like messing with Mike is I said, fuck that. It looks dumb.
Which you do think. You did think it looked dumb, though.
Yes. Oh, I did.
But you just don't want to take my advice.
Yes. Yeah. So I was like, no, I don't want to watch it. And I said something. It should have raised a red flag right away. I was like, I don't like Andy Samberg, which is not right, because I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, I called you on that. I was like, bullshit. Yeah. There's shit Andy Samberg does that you like. And you're all, no. I was like, well, you're a fucking asshole. Yeah.
So, right. So I just Island didn't much. Do it. So then I was recently in San Diego, and Clint said, hey, have you been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine? And I was like, no.
You're
to
like,
him.
That shitty show that Mike keeps telling me
so
about?
So this to him, I said, no, I've never checked it out. Mike keeps trying to get me to watch it. He says it's really funny. He goes, oh, it's super hilarious. He's like, have you seen the stuff they do on HBO? I was like, no. So we watched Tour de Pharmacy, and I had already seen 7 Days in Hell.
Yeah.
And as I did not know, those are the same people who make Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh.
So after
I watched 7 Days in Hell, I haven't seen Tour de Pharmacy.
Tour de Pharmacy is fucking unbelievable, hilarious. John Cena is like my favorite thing he's ever done, and that is including his episode on Psych. So you know,
oh shit,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
A lot.
See, yeah. Exactly. They're both fantastic. They're ridiculous. There's a lot of male nudity, so prepare yourself for little wieners. I'm just letting you know right now. So it's because. Did you guys ever watch Blue Mountain State?
No.
I watched some of it.
So remember his best friend, the mascot?
Yeah.
He's in those. And both of them, he's naked.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. And both times, he's fully naked. And the Tour de Pharmacy one, John Cena, there's a big biker fight. yes, biker fight. Bicycler fight, that is.
Oh, bicycler,
and
okay.
He, somehow, air quotes, becomes fully naked, and John Cena picks him up, and this dude's junk is bouncing against John Cena's face while he's punching people and swinging this guy around, hitting people with him. It's fucking amazing. But so, Clint said, "Hey, if you like that, since you like those, you should check out Brooklyn Nine-Nine." And I was like, I wanted to start the joke with him, but like, no, it looks dumb, and it's like it doesn't work with him, so I didn't do it. And it's funnier with Mike because Mike gets so like upset,
and it's not like I was telling you every day.
Yeah, but like yeah.
After like the season would start back up, I'd watch it again. I'm like, fuck, this is really good. Other people need to watch this.
So I get back and I'm looking for a new show to watch, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give Brooklyn Nine-Nine a shot. And at first, I was like, I don't want to buy it, and the Fox app only has season 4 because that is the newest season. By the way,
yeah.
I was like, shit. And I was like, wait, I have Hulu. Hulu has commercials. Ah, fuck. I'll try it. I am now on season 4, episode. I think it's. I'm on episode 4. What I just finished the Halloween one.
Yeah.
I think it was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's hard for me to keep up because I've actually watched them pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, as they come out, and they do these. Like a thing, because I haven't watched, you know, current TV in so long. I forgot they do mid-season
yeah.
things, and it's in the middle of a mid-season fucking off period right now. But yeah, it's really, really fucking funny.
Show is so funny. Like, the characters are ridiculous. And it's so, it's, I didn't think it was going to be the way it actually is. I thought it was going to be one of those things where, like, Andy's character. Jake Plint or what's his last name? Peralta is like a fuck up, but he's not. He's like a really good. Yeah,
That was a nice touch. Is because like I was thinking that too. Is all like oh, like when I saw the trailers, I was like, oh, it's Andy Samberg being a shitty cop. Like yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be.
What the trailers?
But then you watch it, you're like, no, he's a really good cop. He's just a fucking goofy dummy.
Yeah,
you know,
he's obsessed with Die Hard.
Who isn't?
Really bad with money.
Terrible with money.
Real bad with money.
But the thing about this, his obsession with Die Hard is it literally fuels everything. Anything, yeah. He will literally make connections to Die Hard that don't have any connection to Die Hard.
Right.
Like, there's one episode in season 3 where you get a little backstory on, like, Terry Crews' character, Terry Jeffers, and you find out that when he was a uniform, so and he just got into being a detective, he was being bullied, which is hilarious because it's Terry Crews, by the other detectives, the seasoned detectives in his precinct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on his first case, he struggled like so hard to solve it. So he finally figured out he solved it, went there. The person he was going after was this Russian gymnast, and they basically bust in the door, like freeze, and the dude's like paralyzed in a wheelchair. And then he's like, he's got a cat! He trained the cat to do the burglary. And they're like, what? And then so they every year, they'll send him a cat.
Oh, God.
As like a joke.
Yeah.
So Andy Samberg's character convinces him to be like, take the cat, go down there and tell him, like, show him once for all, like, you are who you are. You're an amazing cop, blah, 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 right? So he's like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to prove to them that I'm better than I was then, and I'm better than them now. He goes down there and it cuts, and he's walking back into through the elevator. He's got 3 cats. I was like, I have more cats. And then so later, Jake Peralta convinces him to then let's solve this case. He's like, yeah, but what am I gonna do with these cats? Like, I'll watch them. So he comes back and he's named them after things from Die Hard, and one of them's named Nakatomi.
Yeah,
it's super hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah, it made me laugh a lot. The show is extremely funny.
One of my favorite, like, one quick lines in it, because, like, it's a really good show. It's cleverly written, but there's so many, like, really good one-liners where you're just like, oh, god damn it, that was so good. But, like, one, it's so basic, but Terry Crews' character, Terry, used to be overweight. And he talks about how, I think it was the episode where his big brother or brother-in-law
yeah,
Zeke, would make fun of him, and he'd call him Terry Titties. And just hearing Terry Crews tell the captain, he's like, he used to call me Terry Titties. And then like later on, like he says Terry Titties again. I was like, this is the funniest.
Yeah.
It's
extremely funny. It is hilarious. It is right up there with like New Girl with me, which I just saw the New Girl crossover episode.
Yeah.
But it's like I expect there to be more connection.
No, there's not.
There's literally that same exact scene from that episode is in this episode. Then later on, it's just they have another joke, just like they had another joke in theirs that have to play it up. And I was like,
and then Damon Wayans Jr. pops in.
Yeah,
coach pops up. Yeah, real quick.
Not as coach though.
No, it was as coach. He was like, "What are you guys doing in New York?"
Well, that's no, New
that's
Girl.
That was the New Girl episode. Yeah, Damon Wayans Jr. plays another character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine as his old partner.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
But it was just a funny thing on New Girl where it was like the credits scene. He's like,
"Yeah,
what are you guys doing in New York? You didn't tell me." And like that was the end of it. I was like, "That's funny."
Yeah. So yeah, but he shows up, and there's a lot of really awesome guest appearances in the show. Rafi is one of my favorite ones from the league. He's in it. Plays
Nick
Clemento.
Cannon.
Nick Cannon's in it for a little
bit.
Did
a really good job in it.
I think his exit of the show is one of my favorites, though.
Yeah.
Because he's dating one of the female detectives, and they're getting like really serious, and she like breaks it off, and like you like expect her to be like a this like distraught and like crying, but like she's trying to avoid doing the actual breakup, so she's trying to text message him, and then eventually she's convinced to go and do it face to face, and so you see him crying like, "I can't believe this," and it cuts to her trying to sneak out silently through the window, and he turns and goes, "Are you trying to get out the window?" She's like, "No," and she's slowly pulling her leg back in. It's really funny.
Alright
So seasons 1 through 4 are on the Hulus.
And I know Hulus is a hard fucking binge, man, but it's the show's worth it. Go to
the commercials are...
Or, I mean, if you trust us, and you should, buy the fucking weird commercial-free Hulu.
Yeah.
And then burn through it in a month, and then...
I wonder if that one's... Is Fox one of the ones that loves you do... I actually might...
Fox is their main
thing. Oh, that's
thing,
true, yeah. I'll say this, though. Every now and then, if you binge enough episodes, the commercials break, and the little timer goes in the corner, but the episode continues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, thanks, Hulu, for being broken.
Life hack.
Yep.
Life hack.
So what I'm trying to say is binge watch the shit out of it. So eventually the commercials stop playing and you just get the little timer thing in the corner and your episode keeps going through.
Yeah.
Then it feels like you're on Netflix with a weird timer in the corner.
As long as it doesn't shoot you to a different show altogether.
Well,
once you finish. So if you finish the season, it jumps to the next season. Yeah. It continues on.
Okay.
But I know for a fact, because this will be the fourth show I've finished watching on Hulu, I guarantee you they're going to try to make me watch something else.
We're probably going to try to make you watch The Mindy Project.
Yeah, most likely. Because
that's the other Fox
thing
that they had. Well, no, and then they picked now. It up. It's their show now, yeah. Which is when it's... The new Hulu user interface is fucking terrible.
It's the worst.
It is fucking...
It's fucking awful.
It is worse than having to deal with the old school YouTube on the Apple TV.
Yeah.
That's how fucking terrible it is.
I'm on it right now.
And the only saving grace is their continue watching will basically start right where it's at. So you just have to go up one, over one, and then hit enter, and it just plays that episode. It doesn't go into like another menu. Only saving grace, that fucking UI. Otherwise, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, once you're in something and you're gonna binge a bunch of it, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to exit out of it. But, like, because I use Sling, so I don't have a DVR. So if, like, I miss, like, an episode of, like, Raw or Smack, like, wrestling or something, mm-hmm. I know I can go to Hulu to watch it. But I haven't been watching it for a couple weeks on there because I've been catching it live. And it's such a pain in the dick to get down because it wants to send you to the last episode you haven't seen on there.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, I don't, like, this, like, is a live sporting event show. Like, I don't give a fuck. I saw those. Yeah,
I could see that could be a thing. Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
But the other thing, too, is it's...
And then Jin, like, murdered The Handmaid's Tales on there. And so every time I would go on there, I would be in The Handmaid's Tales thing, and it was, like, 14 back pushes to get to the main menu. It's real dumb.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's The Apple TV one's a little different because you just have to go up and hit home. But like, I haven't watched anything else on there.
Yeah, but Apple TV will do something similar where if I don't go through the Apple TV app to launch a video,
yeah,
but then I go back because I'll watch.
They have the
previous one that the
up next one or whatever thing, and they it'll have now. Be
from the one that you watch through there, not through the Comedy Central is one big one. So it's really super fucking annoying to be like, no, that's not the one. But it's not really easy to go in through the Apple TV and select the correct
one. What really pisses me off about that whole thing is like, it seems to be really seamless. Like, it shows you, hey, this is the next episode of the stuff you were watching. Like, you want to pick it, right?
Yeah.
You click on it. You would think, oh, it's going to play it.
Yeah.
Then it asks you, do you want to open this app? I'm like, yeah, if I have to. Like, then it goes into it and it'll play from there. But it's like, why didn't you just play that content?
But even in some cases, the Comedy Central app comes to mind again. To me, I would think, like you, it would jump straight into it, full screen, and start playing. No. The Comedy Central one jumps to it
and it just...
And it has, like, the little video and it has a little description, but you can't, or at least on the iPad, you can't maximize it until you watch the fucking ad, and then you can maximize it. It's fucking stupid.
On the Apple TV, it goes to it, and then it just sits on the episode, and you have to hit play.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on for example, I just stopped. Like, I was like, I don't want to use the Hulu interface. I'll just use the Apple TV one, right?
Yeah.
And it says, hey, you want to open the Hulu? I was like, yes. And then at least it played the episode.
Yeah.
But I was like.
But there are other times. Have you ever had it where it opens up the app and then it just sits there and does nothing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It did that for me with talking with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, because you're right. The Hulu searching and trying to find shit on Hulu is absolutely awful. So when I already have it in my Apple TV lineup, hit play, it brings up the Hulu app, and then I'm like, waiting for it to start the episode.
I will say, and it's not that I go to this app for a lot of things, but Crackle doesn't have a search function.
It does.
No.
It's so...
Mine doesn't.
It might be different on the Sling. So on the Apple TV, when you go up, if you go to settings, it's the first thing. I don't know why it's in settings.
No. Apple TV, it's not there. I don't know if mine hasn't gone through an update.
Oh, really?
That's
how I found...
Does not have a... I was... Because the other day, I was like, I want to watch Adam's Family for some reason. Like, I can't remember why.
Show or the movies?
The movie.
Okay.
And I was all like... And I just went to iTunes. I was like, oh, $14.99. Fuck that. So I was like going through all the free places.
Pause real quick. So let me ask you a question real quick. This is the thing. Yeah. If you were to go to iTunes, you saw like you get both one and two, but for like $19.99, would you have bought them?
No.
Okay.
Well, I can get one and two for $14.99.
Okay.
I'd have had a real decision to make.
But
$19.99.
I didn't do this with Rambo.
Yeah.
Am I going to do it with?
I'm a cheap bastard now when it comes to iTunes. They've taken so much of my money. But yeah, so I was like, I'll go to the search. And one, if, like I said, if maybe after an update it is there, after people bitching, but there's no fucking, like you would think right there at the top.
Search.
Nope. Yeah. I went into settings. I went into every fucking link that you could go into looking for a search function, and there was none. I was like, I fucking hate Crackle now. And I'm so glad they lost Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and it's going to be on Netflix because it's way easier there.
That's awful.
But I will say it's free, so I mean, I can't bitch too much, but...
And the thing is, like, the original content doesn't have commercials.
No.
So like, I watched the Snatch TV show, which was fucking phenomenal. And it doesn't have commercials. It has commercials before and after.
Oh, well then.
But during the show, there's none.
Yeah.
And they're like, only bad thing is they're the same commercials because they're presented by. So it's the same commercial, but it was like, but you're not, your show's not getting interrupted.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is good.
Yeah. And their movies are the same thing. Their movies have an ad before and after, but nothing during it. So you're not like, I was going to watch the Planet of the Apes, the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the first one. On the Fox app, quality was terrible because it was the made for TV version because it was playing off FX. Because Fox now plays everything from their network, so FX, FX Movies, FXX, National Geographic for some strange reason, all in one app. But it's this has been modified to fit your television one, and the quality was terrible. I was like, well, this is bad. And then it had commercials, and I was like, stop buying through iTunes, or I'm done. I'm good. Like, fuck this. Like,
That's awful.
Nonsense.
Have you seen the new Planet of the Apes?
I have not seen War of the Planet of the Apes. It's driving me insane.
I keep because they have the two pack
on iTunes.
On iTunes. And I was like, I'm going to watch those before I go watch them.
That's what I did. I rewatched both of them.
And I haven't watched them. I haven't even bought them yet.
I bought I bought Rise.
Let me borrow your iTunes real quick.
Okay. I then watched Dawn again. And then I wanted to watch War. But I was like, no, we never went. And it was the weekend before I went to San Diego. So I was like, I didn't really have, like, we weren't going on Sunday or whatever because I wasn't going to be here.
And then there's just been too many good movies coming out.
Yeah, man, dude, fucking.
I mean, this week would be Dark Tower.
Oh, God. You're making me so mad right now, Joe.
I'm sorry.
You're making me so fucking upset. I don't want to see it without you because our whole plan was to see it together. That's why I read the books.
Yeah.
But someone's going to go visit a friend in North Carolina, like a selfish piece of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, what? So I'm going to see it without you. Because I can't wait a week.
I assume you will be.
But I mean, if you want to see it, I don't know, see, like, you know, Thursday night.
Nah.
After you get off work.
That's going to be too late for me.
Man, you a bitch.
Yeah, I am.
Mike, you want to go see Dark Tower on Thursday?
Probably.
Yeah! There's one.
Mike's a good
friend.
We'll
pretend you're there. We'll buy seats where there's an empty one in between. Because no one's going to buy a seat. We say that. Someone will. Yeah. But
some asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if it's in Cinema 1. Oh, my God. Is that going to be in Dolby Atmos? That new trailer just makes me so fucking hard. We saw it before we're talking Blonde today.
They played the trailer in Dolby in the.
Well, you know, it doesn't mean they're gonna have it.
They're gonna have it.
Is there anything else going against it this weekend?
I don't think so.
No,
probably not. But like that new trailer just makes me fucking hard, dude. And he's like, when he does that thing where like he shoots and then he like, I don't know, like he just hits his just like right off his belt. Just I was like, man. That's exactly what I wanted. Like, that's not what I imagined his belt looked like, by the way.
No.
I thought it was just going to be bullets on bullets. These are actually, like, full-on cylinders, which is cool. But, man, it's just, like, when he's fucking... When he, dude, in that new trailer, when he bounces the bullet, I was like, yeah, buddy! Yeah, you teach them motherfuckers how a goddamn fucking gunslinger works.
It's still my favorite part in the trailers is when he's just spinning the
oh, and just dropping shells
just
in?
Just dropping fucking bullets into... I was like, ah, that's so dope.
Right? Yeah.
So dope.
Because that's exactly how I pitched it. I pictured it from the books, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that in the... I don't know why. In my head, the guns open differently in the books. Like, I imagine it's one of those ones where, like, it clips down, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that is a thing. And I don't think he's ever described it that way because he calls them revolvers.
Yeah.
But that's just the way I see them for some reason. Because I think those look cooler in my head. But in the movies, it's like a normal Colt where the cylinder just slides out the side. But yes, that part's dope when he's just like flinging him in, and then the part where like he catches him out of the air,
yeah,
just boom! I was like, oh god, if you come on, man, like how can you obviously? Like,
or when he the first trailer where you hear his inner monologue,
yeah,
and they're running off with the kid, and he just closes his eyes and focuses, and you could see all the things kind of go in slow motion,
and
just reaches out and shoots. I was like, oh, that's so dope.
It is so dope.
So fucking ready. We were looking at they announced. Not, I'm guessing they don't announce the full cast today, but they said like every like Wikipedia and IMDb had like all the character lists that everyone's credited as, and we were going through like we don't know how the fuck they're doing this movie because there's like characters that like pop up through like all the books like in a way or like all I'm like I don't know I just want to watch it now like can I please watch it now like can we just like have it right now
yeah
I don't want to wait till tomorrow night. I don't want to wait at all. I want to watch it now.
Right.
Like, I wanted to watch it earlier today now. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting ready at 1:15 to watch Atomic Blonde. The trailer plays. I'm like, can we just play this now? Like,
right.
I know you guys
know
have
you
it.
Have it, yeah.
It's here. Someone, that, like, I'm pretty sure it's just like, hit
like,
a button.
Trip and fall and like, put oh, it no. in the projector. I don't like, know how that works, but just do it.
Yeah, like, I know it's not, like, I know it's, like, just, like, a button thing or whatever. It's, like, a computer.
It's, like double click. Done.
Oh no, I accidentally hit the Dark Tower instead of Atomic Blonde. I'm so dumb.
Oh no.
But what I'm trying to say is
Dark
I'm really
Tower
excited.
Is Cinema 1 tomorrow at 7:20 and 9:45.
Let's go! Now? Can we go now?
No, we're going to have to wait.
Can we go now?
You technically agree.
At
go
least
now.
24 hours.
Oh, I hate you so much. So we're good to go tomorrow, Michael?
Probably.
Yes. Probably is a yes to me. I'm going to bug him all day tomorrow.
That's why you get in trouble a lot.
Well, yes. But, you know, whatever. Surprise. I want to see it so bad. Just so I know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah.
Makes me so
I'm kind of glad I haven't read the books yet, because you guys have been talking about it. And I'm
I think I wish I could do one of those things where like I read the books and I'm going to see the movie, and then I want to be able to like MIB one myself, not to remember the books, and then watch it again and see if it's enjoyable not to know all the stuff in the back history, like seeing it, like getting to experience for the first time of anything.
Yeah.
And I know it can't happen because that doesn't exist. No. But if I hit myself in the head hard enough, I think I can forget.
I can hit you in the head real hard.
Fair enough. I gotta.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I got Mikey over here to punch me dumb. Let's do it. Colors. I mean, I drool enough as it is, so it's not gonna be any different. I think that's it. Anybody got anything else?
No.
Nah. Man.
Cool.
Come back next week.
Yeah.
Talk about the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
Some of us.
Well,
two of you will.
Yeah, he'll be gone still. I'll so be.
Where are you going again?
North Carolina.
So weird. Can I go there?
I want to say something there. So bad. I wanted to say like there's a clan meeting he has to go to, wow. Like a reunion, but
that's yeah, seems... good thing you didn't say that.
That's what I'm saying. I prefaced it. I wasn't going to say it. Like I was, but I'm not going to say it.
Jesus.
Joe gets what I'm saying.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I get what you're saying is awful.
Yes, I know, but it's not like I said. Like, I said I wanted to say it, but I didn't say it. Say it. You know what I mean?
It was an inner monologue that you had.
Yes, yeah. Like my filter does not work properly, and I literally can feel it coming out of me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I should probably say something first. Like, hey, like I thought of this terrible thing, and this is it. But I wasn't gonna say it.
Like, you know, put a finger in her.
Yeah, exactly. Like, like. I did say that, and that's because I didn't have the whereabouts to stop myself because I was tired and hungry and
thirsty. We were at Disneyland.
Surrounded by kids.
Happiest place on earth.
It was happy. I was in a good mood.
That's a pretty happy thing to do, though.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Not in public.
Hey, they were in the back of a boat by themselves.
Yeah.
No one but me and maybe three other people might have seen it. It was loudish in there, you know.
I'm pretty sure everybody would have seen it.
Eh, whatever.
That'd be stealthy. Disney, sticking has fingers cameras all over the place. They would have stopped the ride. They would have had to re-clean things up.
Whatever, man. Just splash some water in there. It'll be fine. Water has to come out of there somehow, right?
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Anyway.
Anywho. Because they're not really boats. Like, they're on a track. It's not like they're,
true.
Not floating on their own. I doubt she's going to fill it up. Oh, we're going under. Why does it smell like... No, sorry.
Just end.
That's it for this week's episode. It comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Hell yeah.